Good morning. I'm Elisa Z. Thanks so much for spending this first Sunday of the new year with us here, listening to the Sunday edition. Every month, as we know, is something month, and January is no exception, and it's very important. January actually is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, and this is something that doesn't get a lot of discussion sometimes. I mean, it's bubbled up to the top so that it has its own month, but a lot of things do. And when we're talking about cervical cancer, I think a lot of people don't realize how prevalent this was. It still is too prevalent. If one person has it, that's too many. And we are seeing a decrease, but it's still something that we just need to get a handle on, do what we can to detect early, see what we need to do for treatment. And some of the pieces really are very close at hand. I am joined, thankfully, this morning via Zoom by Amy Leggio, who is, I want to give you proper props here, Amy, as I look at your title and you have so many accolades, MSN, CNP, OCN, nurse practitioner, member of a breast cancer multidisciplinary team at Barbara Ann Karmanos Cancer Center, and on and on and on. I'm sure there are many other things that you do in life. For our purposes, we want to talk about cervical cancer. So good morning and thank you, thank you, thank you for taking the time.
Well, good morning, Elisa. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm excited to talk to you and the people in this community about cervical cancer. Certainly, cervical cancer was at one time one of the most common causes of death in American women. And we've seen a great decline in that because of screening. Although we are screening, we have amazing tools to screen, guidelines, and the availability of screening is increasing. There's still a large number of women. The numbers that were estimated in 2023 were around 13,900 new diagnoses and about 4,300 deaths. So we've made amazing progress through the years, but we still have a ways to go.
Those are still big numbers, aren't they?
They
Now,
are.
what is the primary method of screening?
Two things: cytology, which is Pap smear. So most women understand that a Pap smear. Pap smear is where we scrape the cells of the cervix and hopefully get a normal Pap smear. But the whole point is identifying precancerous or abnormal cells before they turn into cancer so that we can do something about them, or identifying an early cervical cancer. And then the other test is HPV testing. We know that most cervical cancers are caused by HPV. And so HPV testing, we're able to identify some of the high-risk subtypes that cause these changes in the cervix, identify women who have this HPV, and then we can manage their cervical screening appropriately.
Over the years, just the last couple of decades specifically, we've seen immunizations against
Yes, that's
HPV.
big too.
That's got to be huge. I remember, I mean, I have four daughters,
Yes.
and I remember when that immunization came out, and then people were nervous, well, but what does this mean, and how can it
Right.
really help?
Right.
But if you are vaccinated, immunized against HPV, that's a layer that is taken away.
Yes.
It doesn't mean you
Yes.
can never.
It doesn't mean it will never happen, but the CDC does estimate that the vaccine can reduce the number of HPV-related cancers by 90% if we were at the level of vaccination that we need to be. So people are vaccinating, but we can do better. We can do better with that. And you know, when the vaccine first came out, it was only for females.
I remember
Yes,
that.
I remember that too. I think that was early 2000s. It was only for females. And of course, we got on board. It's for male and females. And we need to vaccinate starting, you know, between the ages of 9 and 12 before people become sexually active, because that's the main way we can get HPV. So vaccinate the kids between 9 and 12.
Yep.
It is available for people 13 to 26 as well, if they weren't vaccinated or if they never completed the series of vaccination. But it's the most, one of the most important things we can do for prevention.
Right.
Cervical cancer is one of few cancers that we can actually prevent by, number one, doing a vaccine, and number two, by getting the screening and removing abnormal cells, treating abnormal cells before they become cancer. So this is one of the cancers that we should not be dying from.
Exactly. I mean, when you're talking about nearly 14,000 new cases diagnosed in 2023, or that's the number we're expecting to hear later this month, and that potentially leading to a few thousand deaths, many of those can be prevented. And when we talk about preventing cancer, it's like getting a colonoscopy, removing the polyps before they develop.
That's right.
If something can be something potentially that could kill us can be prevented, why wouldn't we do it, Amy? What do you think any hesitation might be, other than, okay, it's not real comfortable to go to the doctor, right?
You know, that's a multifactorial answer.
Yes, of course. Of course.
It's complicated. Well, first of all, people need to be aware and get screening. A lot of times we put off those things because it's never convenient to get screening. I'm oncology certified. I've spent my career 27 years in oncology, various parts of it. And I can tell you that getting diagnosed and treating cancer is much more inconvenient than going and getting screened for cancer. Either preventing cancer or identifying it early, that's our best chance at survival. So I do think that people maybe don't realize they need screening, or they just aren't making the time to screen. I also have patients who have said, I just don't want to know. I'd rather not know. They don't want to live with the anxiety of knowing. We need to know so we can do something.
Exactly. I understand that mindset because I've done that myself on more than one occasion. And we know it's important for women to get to their gynecologist every year and get the routine tests. Mm-hmm. Now, when we're going for the pap smear, for example, is there a CDC recommendation or a Karmanos recommendation? Are they in line?
Yes. So there are guidelines for everything that we do.
Of course.
And we'll talk about the American Cancer Society guidelines. Okay. There's a couple different groups that have their own guidelines for cervical cancer screening. They're all pretty close. So the American Cancer Society recommends starting at age 25 through 29, pap smear every 3 years. And at age 30, there's three different ways to do this. Co-testing with pap smear and HPV testing every 5 years, HPV testing every 5 years, or pap smear alone every 3 years. I say, if you have HPV testing available, why not do the HPV testing? But, you know, backing up to answer another reason why people don't get testing is in some areas, it's not available. You know, healthcare in rural areas can be difficult. Getting a pap smear, if you can get the pap smear, but HPV testing isn't available, for sure get the pap smear. But, you know, healthcare equity is it's not equal across the board throughout the country. So that's an issue too with getting screening. And then also partly why we have these different guidelines. So continuing on guidelines, 30 through 65, following those guidelines, either the co-testing every 5 years or the pap every three. At age 65, the guidelines do say it's unnecessary to continue cervical cancer screening as long as you've had appropriate negative testing. I always recommend at age 65, it should be a discussion that a woman has with their healthcare provider. I wouldn't just automatically stop. There needs to be a discussion. And then there's also the women who have had hysterectomies with their cervix removed If they don't have a history of precancer cells or cervical cancer, there can also be this discussion for potential discontinuing cervical cancer screening at that time as well. But don't confuse cervical cancer screening with pelvic exams,
right?
Because that can be confusing as well. You know, a pelvic exam, there's still a healthcare provider examining the outside and inside the pelvis of the woman, looking for anything abnormality that maybe needs to be tested further. So these are discussions to be had with the healthcare provider.
And that makes the most sense because as with anything, you know how many of us are quick to Google or ignore or right?
That's right.
And through the pandemic, I'm sure many people decided for whatever reasons, for many reasons, to forego their exams. So if you're in that 3-year window and the 3 years have been up, it might be a good idea.
Yes.
And your most important points here that I'm taking, Amy, is number one, this can be preventable in so many cases. And number two, don't make arbitrary assumptions.
Right. And number three, treatable. If there
is
a problem, so treatable. You know, cancer care across the board in my 27 years has changed dramatically in some cases and for the better in most cases. So, you know, there's always hope. There's always a plan. People should, one of the excuses I hear or complaints I hear from patients is that they just don't have a doctor anymore for whatever reason. A lot of doctors retired during the pandemic or are just retiring, not because of the pandemic. It was their time to retire. You know, don't give up trying to find a healthcare provider. You know, Carmanos, you can always call Carmanos, 1-800-CARMANOS, and we'll help find a provider for you. The McLaren Health System is throughout the state of Michigan, and there's many women's health providers, OBGYNs, primary care providers, you know, family practices, internal medicines. They do those healthcare providers in those practices all often do cervical cancer screening as well. So there are options. Sometimes people just have to make some phone calls, and sometimes convincing yourself to make that phone call.
That's a big first step. That is absolutely a big first step without question.
Yes.
Before I let you go for the morning, any parting notions for us or anything you'd like to reiterate before we roll and make sure that everybody does the right things?
Yeah. So as far as looking for providers as well, I'm part of the Women's Wellness Clinic at Carmanos. It's a nurse practitioner ran clinic. There's another nurse practitioner, Angela Viviano, and I, we both run this clinic and we do work with the breast cancer team, but our clinic has kind of become this screening clinic, making sure, women are getting their cervical cancer screening, referring them to get colonoscopies. We talk about healthy lifestyle choices. We take care of women who are at a high risk for cancer, managing their screenings differently than the average population. So we're also a great place for women to get connected. And I just really encourage people to make that call, not just to my clinic, but just to get in and get screening. That's the most important thing. It saves lives. I've seen that for 27 years. Just make the appointment, get the screening done. Don't ignore anything that might be concerning to you. Get it checked out.
Get it checked out. Thank you, Amy Leggio with Barbara Ann Carmanos Cancer Institute. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I think I know a bunch of people who have some phone calls to make now.
Well, thank you, Elisa. I really appreciate the privilege of being on this show with you and helping to encourage women to take care of themselves.
Well, trust me when I say the pleasure has indeed been mine. This is very interesting and so important for us to discuss, not just in January, Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, but regularly with one another and with our physicians. I thank you all so much for spending your Sunday morning here with us. I'm Elisa Z. You're listening to the Sunday edition.